are looking at victory. Victory. There are only winners and losers at the end of life. And the end of life was already mentioned this morning. What a strange thing to say to a group of young people. Someday we're all going to die. I've been thinking about bringing a coffin into my classroom, actually. It's kind of like mounted on the wall as a continual reminder. You know? Because in the end, there's only winners and losers. What is your plan? What is your plan? Sometimes as Christians, we can say, oh, Jesus died for me. I'm going to heaven. You know, and it sounds so flaky sometimes because, listen, everything God does, He does perfectly, doesn't He? Has He ever made a mistake? Never. And He is currently working on your life and my life. He's forgiven what's past, which is great. But we are on a journey. And during this journey, He is going to look for some fruit. The scripture that we just read about the tree in Jeremiah. Its leaf doesn't fade. The same as we get in Psalm 1, I believe it is. Being a tree planted by rivers of water. God has invested in your life and He's looking for something. And you are in a wonderful church, a great youth group.
Your music team, your ministry and songs is bringing in the presence of the Lord more than ever. You know, your leadership,
Brady,
you know, loves God.
God has provided for you. So let's see
what He has
for us.
Okay?
I want to give you Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The fact of the matter is, we are in a war. We are at war. The devil hates you. He's after you. And yet God says, there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you speaks against you in judgment. The Bible says, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Most High. Let me ask you a question. Do we need victory today? Do you need victory? What's the answer? Yes. Now,
what areas of victory would you say we need? Let's not talk about you as an individual,
because that would be like way
too personal, right?
But in general, what areas
do we need victory in?
Raise your hand and tell everybody. Need a little victory in the sound system. It was talking to me while you weren't. Okay. Where do we need victory today? Where do young people need victory? What areas of their lives need victory? Yes. Schoolwork. Does anybody need victory in schoolwork here? Raise your hand if that's true. All right, good. One person, two, three, four people. Five, six, the rest of you are perfect. That's good. Okay. All right. Yes.
Sports,
victory. You guys are playing some kind of a turkey game or something, right? So should we pray about that? I heard you guys, you won last year, is that right? All right. Are you going to win this year? You guys have got to be like so incredible. We win it. I guess the other teams are like really practicing. Is that right? Yeah, and you guys like hardly practice at all because you're just so incredibly good. Well, that's awesome. Yes.
Relationships with family.
Wow. Any of you need help at home in your relationships with your family? Don't raise your hand. Don't embarrass your family. All right. Yeah, that's a place. That is really a place. Where we need victory. Oh, there we go. So life is like a race, okay? We're all running this race. I'm going to guess that some of you need victory in your thoughts. Raise your hand if it's true. Nobody can see your thoughts. Come on. Some of you need victory over lying. How many of you need victory? Raise your hand now. Let's respond this morning to absolutely, okay? You need victory in your brain. We do. We need victory there. We are running a race. Now, I want to point out
time running wrong races. We get caught up. We don't plan on it. It just sort of happens, okay? This is a rat race. All of these rats are racing to get to the top of the ladder. And I guess there's even a movie called Rat Race. I've never seen it, okay? You have? Is it funny? Should I look? Should I see it? All right, good. I'll rent it. All right, I'll stop on the way home and pick it up. All right, so these rats are running to get to the top. When they're at the top, there's nothing there, okay? Now, the rat race comes in a variety of ways in our lives, okay? Ooh, what did I do? How does this work?
You just scroll.
Scroll?
Push it next.
Yeah. I'm scrolling. Oh, scroll. Scrolling. Okay, there we go. This lady is obviously running the money. Not a good deal. Because look, as has been mentioned today, when you're dead, you don't get to take any of the money with you, okay? Fashion delivers. What does this, what's the implication of this? What does that mean? What does that mean? There's a heart in there. Some people love fashion, so they run after beauty and that kind of thing. And they're saying that fashion delivers a sense of well-being, love. But that's a rat race. That's not valid. Okay? Some people run a race, you know? I've met some African-Americans, some moms, who have come from difficult situations, and their mission in life is racial reconciliation. These are a couple of my students. I shot their senior pictures, and there's no color picture because they don't see. Okay? This mouse is arthritic. I'm still scrolling. How does this work? What? Oh, it worked. Oh, good. Okay. We'll get to that picture eventually. Now, I want us, as we've already said today, God provides victory. In the Old Testament, he says, he's talking to the serpent or Lucifer in the garden. He says, I put enmity, I put this contention between you and seed will crush your head. See, now I love this. 16:20, it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And so there are scripture after scripture that teach us and tell us stories about great victories that have happened. I'm going to run through just a couple of them, okay? Out of 2 Kings 19, Israel was up against of 185,000. But his death angel destroyed the entire army. We find also the story about marching around Jericho. Falls down. These are all past victories recorded for us. We see Paul, the relief before doing some miracles, look like magic to Pharaoh. And God said, let my people go. We see the prophet of the Lord smote the enemy with blindness and led them in a trap, and then he feeds them wonderfully. We find the prophet in the Old Testament raises a dead child to life again by laying his body on top of this child, his eyes connecting with his eyes, his mouth on the mouth of that child. And he warms that child up, prays, and the child sneezes 7 times and comes back to life. So there are miracles everywhere. And I want to say about this slide that there are 2 sides to miracles and victories. And this is not one that we always look at. This is a bombed out city that I don't know. And many times for there to be victory, in our to be abundant. devastation to bring in the new. Okay. In here, the body of Christ, for him to be he took sins upon him. And we know that sometimes we suffer for our own sins, and that's okay. We're supposed to. And the thing that follows, now you've got people crucified over here. Two of them suffer. However, Jesus suffered. Is that if you want victory in your life, everything that God has accomplished in my life, sometimes He just pours it on me, but other times I have to suffer for my own nature, my carnal human nature, my sinful nature, in order to come into new victories. So here we have the resurrected Christ, all right? And the first one that he meets, the first human being, is a woman who was an incredible sinner who had turned to him. So I want to say yes to give you a fairy tale, fluffy gospel with whipped cream and sprinkles on top this morning. There is a pay. Now, yes, he paid it for us, and yet there's something that we can enter into, okay? I want to ask you, do you ever become discouraged? This poor turkey. Who's going to say happy Thanksgiving to him? Anyhow, in a race, you have a goal, you know? And unfortunately, as has been mentioned several times, the end of our race is a coffin. We have got to aim for something more than that. We've got to aim upward because we know that we will live eternally. I put this up because, number one, there's 3 points here. Number one, we must have vision for victory. Not someday, but today. Walk with that vision for victory today. God gives us a vision for many natural deliverances. Some of them today. Some of you want to have victory over homework. Victory at school. Okay? Victory in relationships within your family. Well, the way to that victory, first of all, living a Christian. Actually, of course, He'll bring those victories to us. Everything God does, I want you to get this. Everything God does, He does perfectly. He makes everything perfect. You and I are imperfect today. However, what He has accomplished in us is perfect. Today, I want to give you the perfect word of the Lord. If it's the word of the Lord, it's perfect. However, I know that there's going to be some Joe Chalufo mixed in there somehow. I don't want you to get that. All I want you to have is a perfect word of the Lord. And to recognize that God said, be perfect through Jesus. Be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And if Jesus said that, then that is possible. You have a purpose for living every day. And that is to enter in to new levels of perfection in your relationship. You can sit here today, and I can use words today, and make you feel guilty for your secret sins. But the Scripture says that they won't be a secret in the end. That everything that is hidden shall be revealed. And so we could sit here and shake and be nervous that somebody's going to find out. Well, I'll tell you what. You need victory over that sin so it will not only be covered, but it will be dead and buried. And nobody will ever have to know. Because you have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And you know that He knows what that is. So God wants to give us that very progressive vision. That very progressive vision. That's the first thing. The second thing. Well, let me go back to that a minute. survivors always have vision. You know, I've done some studies about people in concentration camps, people who have been in prison, and the ones who make it always have a vision, and they take control of the present. Sure, they're locked up, but within that even solitary, they take control over the one thing that nobody can take away from them. In those confinements, okay? And that is for you and I. That's a very, very good thing. Okay, the first thing is vision. The second thing is understanding our weakness, okay? Understanding our weakness. Now, I don't know what he views as his weakness, but he works at being better at what he is good at. Good isn't good enough anymore. If you're good in something, you can become better until you are the best. And you can become the best. What's your name? Jason. You can become the best. What about you, Smiley? What's your name? What? You can become the best Betha? Becca, sorry. The hearing's the first to go. All right. So this guy is working at being his best. Now, what the way he does that is he finds weakness. What's the weak part of his swing? And he works on that. So number two is weakness. Understand your weakness. Have a vision for perfection and then figure out, where am I weak? And you already know that. You don't have to sit there and think about it. You already know your weakness. And the fun thing about God, get this scripture. This is so awesome. I love busy once in a while in his writing. He's so caught up with God. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world, the weak things, in other words, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and base things, rudimentary stuff of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing those things that are great, so that no flesh will glory. You know, party. You need it. Because God says here that where there is a problem, there's a solution. There's victory. Where is God going to work in your life? He'll use your natural talent, whether it's for whether guitar. Yeah, he'll use that. But for that gift, he just gave it to you. And he chooses to involve you in the area where you are weak. And you, God, I have a problem maybe with internet. See, Paul was a legalist. He was very... God threw a bomb on that when he was on the road to Damascus. Bombed him out. Blinded him. He was shattered like that busted up city. Okay? And then he brought resurrection. So in 6, this is the word power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Perfect example. This is Gideon. Gideon had these men. Thousands of men. And if they'd have won the battle that day, they were observed the oppression they were getting because they were obedient to God and God had raised Israel because they were bad. We know that when people are bad, bad things happen. Yesterday, like create, you know, and they have, and they get on their computer, you know, and it's just a sweet environment. I think I have a slide of it today. And so I thought, you know, it kind of looks like a coffee shop. We should have some Frappuccinos here. I'm not going to brew coffee. It's too much work. So I bought the bottle of Frappuccino. So they said, how much? I said, $2. They start complaining.
So we can get it for $1.50. I said, I paid $1.41 for it. I got to make some money. I want to, you know, increase the graphics department, cameras and stuff like that. And as I'm pushing the cart, this chinos in ice slid off my cart, crying out, crashed on the floor, broke about three of them, ice, glass, and frappuccino all over the place. Cute kid standing next to me said, see, God wanted you to sell those for less. Nico, leave me alone. I'm just trying to, you know, it was just funny. And I couldn't say anything to him because it was the right principle. Right. It's the right principle. It applied it. So these people deserved this, and they were weak. They could not come against these enemies. And so they thought with large numbers. But then God spoke to Gideon, whittled it down. Gideon was even a coward. He was hiding behind a wine press, just threshing out his wheat and watching, making sure the enemy wasn't coming, because the enemy was stealing their wheat. And God appears to him, and God says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon is a coward. And yet God called him a mighty man of valor, because God saw his weakness, knew that Gideon could never do it, but knew that Gideon was angry about the enemy. And you know, sometimes our problem is that we love our enemies. We love our naughtiness. God moved on him and brought deliverance over the enemies that were coming against him. Now listen, the Old Testament shows that God brings victory. That's great. But it's always victory over those enemies that are out there to get us. The New Testament is victory over the enemies that are on the inside. All right? These huge corporations, you know, that go down, it's because there's corruption on the inside. You know, corruption on the inside. God gives us in the New Testament over those enemies. The third thing is this, okay? The first one was vision. The second one is recognize your weakness. Raise your hand if you recognize your weakness this morning. Okay? Good. Weaknesses. Now the fourth thing is practical journey steps into victory. Practical step. God never tells us to just think wonderfully. Let's believe. No, he says, go and do. I know I've got some family friends. Believe all you want. Faith without works is dead. We must walk it out, right? We've got to walk our religious thing that we do here. It's about church today. It's about how you live at home. It's about how you live at school. It's what you do when nobody is looking. That's where you need the victory. Okay? From the wilderness all the way to the promise. In life, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Why do we go through wildernesses? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. And God already knew what was in their heart. He wanted to see what was in their hearts. So when we go through tough things, when we have way too much homework, when we're getting picked on at school, okay, because maybe we're trying to fit in and we're not quite fitting in, so we do something stupid to fit in, and we face the pressure because your friends can sniff it out. They know if you're real and honest or if you're just faking it to belong. Okay? They get it. Or if you're quiet in class when the teacher asks for the answer and you don't want to look like the brainiac who's always raising your hand with the answer and you're hiding your light. You know, those are the places where God wants to move on you and use you, okay, to prove you, to show you your own heart, whether you will keep His commandments or not, okay? Listen, Israel saw their enemies drowned in
They saw water coming out of a rock. They saw water that was made sweet. They ate the promise at the end of a land flowing with milk and honey. Now I want to show you a few pictures here today of where you live with your friends. That's where you can gain the victory. I need victory over this mouse. It's testing me. I'm going through my... Oh, there we go. This is a group of my kids at school. Well, there's another group of kids. Anyhow, in school. Ugh. Oh, we're back to these guys. There we go. Okay. This is my... oh! What is with this thing? Anyhow, hanging out. How do you relate to your friends? Some of those people are looking pretty crazy. The girl with her wide mouth. She's a sweetie. Okay, Chris in the foreground. My man there with the afro. Sweet kid. He does really cool stuff. All right. And I could tell you about all these kids. These kids are praying. This is our student lounge. They gather together and they pray. Nobody told them they had to do that. They get together in the morning at 7:30, 7:15, and they pray. All right? They're walking out their Christianity. All right? There are things that God calls us to. How about your family? Isn't this a sweet-looking family? And I pick this... Every person in that family, there's some country group or bluegrass, I don't even, never heard of them, found them on the internet. But every person in that family has an instrument. And in your family, there's music, you know, in a sense. Now, when they play, everybody's got to be on the right note, doing their part. And when they sing, they've got to know their part. What is your part at home? Do you have to be told what to do? Or do you see what needs to be done, you just do it? Listen, if any of this is making sense to you, then you are held accountable stuff out at home. You could start this stuff today. Today is the day of salvation. That's what Scripture says. This isn't just head stuff, okay? So let's move on and see who else we have going on here. Oh! We had a really good time. Well, he had a really good time. That's his sister. And you can tell she's having fun, too. This was like a crud wars thing at a camp we did, okay? And he actually graduated last year. That's Tommy, Javlon's little sister. And how do you relate in your family? For her, this is a strange demonstration of their love for each other. All right, here we go. This was a worship service that we did. And it was good. It was good. Why was it good? Because the band was really good? The speaker was really good? No. What happened was we kind of broke out of our shell, went to a whole new spot, and kids wanted God. How many of you really want more of God today? Raise your hand. You do, don't you? That's what you want. That is what you're going to get. God will give it to you. He really will. That is just His nature. All right? Now back to this race. We are running this race. We are going someplace. We are moving on in God. And there are all problems that I see, all the problems we could possibly have, as I look in Scripture, they are solved. God solves every single problem when we let Him. When we have that vision, we recognize our weakness, and then we begin to take steps. You can't do it on your own. It is by grace. But part of that weakness discovery is what humbles us. And He says, I give grace to the humble. I chose because that was like early 1900s. Okay? This is an old race that we are running. We have an example. Here's a contemporary race. We have examples in Scripture of all kinds of problems. Listen to these. They're all solved. Sanballat and Tobiah in the Old Testament, during the reconstruction of the temple, had the wrong lineage. They had Moabitish blood or Ammonite blood in them. But in the New Testament, we have the blood of Christ. There are thousands of rules in the Old Testament. The solution in the New Testament is He writes His law in our hearts. We have no excuse. We have victory. The Old Testament, God was invisible. The New Testament, He came in the form of Jesus, and He lived. Abiathar, the priest, was not a wholehearted priest, and his sons were cut off from the priesthood. The priesthood of Zadok carried on two families in the lineage of Levi. But in the New Testament, we are able to be born again and claim God as our Father. The sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation, but God is our Father. Moses tried to be a deliverer of Egypt. Paul, again, another called the father of faith. When in the beginning, if you read it carefully, he laughed at God's promise. He didn't have the faith. And yet he became the father of faith. Joseph had a terrible home life. Contention and strife. And he said, God meant it for good. Can you say that today? God means it for good. It's that victory. Had a sex problem. But in the end, and I'm not saying let's have a and we can take out more Philistines than we killed in our whole lives. No, not at all. But that just shows the mercy of God. Everybody smiles when I say sex. If anybody starts to sleep, I'll just say sex. Everybody will wake up. Who can raise your hand and tell me who? Yeah, sex is good. All right, because know that because you're living in a world where you're so bombarded with like little nasty, naughty sex stuff. You need to wake up and say, "Oh yeah, it is so much fun." The devil hates it because you know he wants to mess us up that way. But God created David, another guy. You know, he had a zipper problem. If they had zippers in their togas, okay. Another guy with a problem. You know, after he repented, he wrote more inspired scriptures. Am I kidding? Should we be happy we have problems? Yes, thank you. I knew that was the answer. I just want to mention it. We should be happy we have problems. Because where there is a problem, there is, and repentance, there's abundant grace. So that you become the answer to that problem for yourself and for other people. This last week, I was just praying, and the Lord reminded me, I know you guys are looking at Malachi, and Malachi says, prove me with your tithes and your offerings. I dare you to tithe, and I will pour out a blessing. You rob me, then you'll be in trouble. And I felt like God was saying, prove me with your weakness. Prove me with a new vision. Prove me, and I will give you victory. You take those steps, and He promises to give victory. I love, again, Paul gets crazy here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. He says, so when this corruptible, this old man gets bombed out like that picture, and puts on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Yeah, that could be in death. But I'll tell you what, there's part of me that was terribly carnal that is now dead. And in place of that dead Joe now lives Christ. Okay? He says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. If you have a problem, that problem is death. Nobody sitting here today would like to say, oh, I have death in me somewhere. Let's make it even more real. Let's say cancer. Nobody would like to sit here this morning and say, I have cancer. Okay? Because it means death. Now, sin and loving sin means death. But what he is saying here is death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But when we have his law written on our hearts, you see, then we behave that way. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for that you know that your victory is not in vain. God is wonderful. And listen, this final thought here, it is in decisions of everyday life. I want to read to you, see if we have any other runners here. Yeah, there we go. She's got the victory. Anybody know her name? Yeah, I don't either. I think it's Chinese. Here we go. This mouse is acting up again. You get to watch me in my trial. Nice mouse. Oh, there we go. Oh, why is that there? Oh, how do I get him back? Oh, he's there. Sorry, I don't mean to be distracting. Okay, this is a kid. I teach a photography class, and this is such a cool thing. This kid, Trey, is really a sweet kid. But I want to leave you with this. Walk it out. Have the vision, know your weakness, and then walk it out. Take the steps. I'm going to read this to you. I usually don't do this. A Scottish essayist and historian named Thomas Carlyle wrote eloquently about the illusions of life. He was a great writer. And he said this, "Many men eat fine cookery, they drink dearer liquors, but in the heart of them, what increase of blessedness is there? Are they better, more beautiful, stronger, or braver? Are they even what they call happier? Because they have these nice things, they're running the wrong race. Do they look with satisfaction on more things and human faces in this God's earth? Do more things and human faces look on them with satisfaction? I say no. Do we know this truth in our hearts? And does it guarantee that we live it? Okay, just because we know a thing. We know what is really valuable in life. A few years before he wrote these incredible words, Carlyle had married his secretary. Her name was Jane Welsh. She was highly intelligent, very attractive, and she continued to work for him as his secretary. Sometime after their marriage, Jane became ill. Carlyle, who was perhaps not much tempted by money, he was deeply devoted to his work. So he didn't care about the money, he just loved his work. He didn't seem to notice his wife's ill health. He was absorbed in what he was doing and allowed her to continue working. But she had cancer. Eventually, she was confined to her bed. Although Carlyle truly loved her, he found that he did not have much time to spend with her or much attention to give to her. Carlyle was not walking it out. After several years of this, Jane died. The day of her funeral was stormy. They carried her dead body to the churchyard for burial through the rain and mud. Carlyle later returned to a house that was suddenly and shatteringly empty. He went upstairs to Jane's room. He sat in the chair next to her bed, the chair that he had so little time for. He noticed her diary lying on the table next to her bed. He picked it up and began to read. On one entry page, she had written a single line. "Yesterday, he spent an hour with me, and it was like heaven. I love him so much." A reality that he had somehow been too blind to see now revealed itself with crashing clarity. He had been too busy to notice how much he meant to Jane. He thought of all the times that he had been preoccupied with his work and simply failed to notice her. He had not seen her suffering. He had not seen her love. Mr. Carlyle turned the page of Jane's diary. He read the words that would break his heart that he could never forget. "I have listened," she wrote, "all day to hear his steps in the hall. But now it is late, and I guess he won't come today." As I read those words, I was thinking about our relationship with him. Does he wait for us to take steps toward him every day? In our family life, relationships, at school, and in our church. Does he listen Is he hearing you, walking toward him, seeing you take those steps? He has victory for us if we will only take those steps toward him. He has certainly taken a giant step from heaven to earth toward us. He read a little more in her book and then he put it back on the table and ran out of the house. Friends finally found him back at the churchyard, kneeling in the earth at the side of her grave, covered with mud. His eyes were red from weeping. Tears were streaming down his face. If only I had known. If only I had known, he cried. Today, we know. We know that God has purposed victory for us. Know the area that we need it. And now, group. And I thank you for the clarity that you speak to each one of our individual hearts with. And I pray today that you will seal this word in our hearts. You do everything perfectly. We are imperfect, and yet you are perfecting us. You're giving us vision. You're giving us grace to say, I am wrong in this area. Maybe it's just an attitude. Maybe it's a specific behavior we feel guilty about, we need to expose. Maybe we lie a little bit. Maybe we're tempted by wrong stuff. Sometimes we fall. Temptation is not sin. Sometimes we put up with it because we live in a fallen world. But above all, God, today I pray that we will respond to you individually, because we have to answer to you and to you alone one day as we stand before the judgment seat. So give us the power today, between now and sunset, give us the power to act on this word. The hearers are not justified, but the doers are. We thank you and praise you. Amen. We sang an absolutely fantastic song. I don't know the name of it.